It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, and with me right now, my two favorite guys, and that will be Kyle from Great Sparber. What's up, man?
Going on, Dave.
Excited about our big game against Duke on Wednesday night. And Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, dude?
Good evening, guys.
We have a very entertaining podcast. I'm sure we have a great guest, Chris Edwards, the play-by-play voice for the Duke baseball team. And we got lots of other exciting things to talk about. And I guess we can do a little bit of a roundtable before we go to Chris and get him on the line. I'm very excited, Bubba and Kyle. You know, you guys know how much I love basketball at East Carolina and the Pirates and Coach Dooley. I'm very excited about it. We got two big recruits. Commits on over the weekend. Let's talk about him.
Yeah, we got J.J. Miles. And he's a guy that he's coming out of Cape Fear Community College. He had a tremendous showing out in the JUCO National Tournament in Hutchinson, Kansas. He's someone, so he's 6'7". And then you also have a guy in Batumba Baruti. He's a guy that Coach Chilius, I believe, had a relationship with from his time at the University of Washington. So, and he's also a JUCO product.
What's his name again?
Baruti.
Batumba Baruti.
I'll call him Rudy. I'll call him Rudy Tootie.
All right. Well, one thing that I'm excited about is that with the four coaches that we talked about, four great recruiters.
Tootie Fruity.
Exactly. Oh, Rudy.
Wop, bop, a loo, bop.
About bam, boom. So we have, So we have the two guys, and it looks like with the guys we already have, we could have basically a whole new team. And what's great is you got a guy like Kyle who, when this team starts winning and rocking and rolling, that place, Minji's, is going to be packed. It's going to be loud. And that's going to, I mean, Coach Dooley even talked about it. That's going to help us win an extra handful of games just by the sixth man, so to speak, being out in the seats.
Yeah, absolutely. When there's a better product on the court to get excited about. Now, granted, we say like Kyle, I'm not one of those people that are an ACC basketball fan when East Carolina has struggled. I don't give a damn about any of the ACC basketball schools. They can all go rotten hell. But, with that said, I'm just not a basketball guy in general. It's not my favorite sport. I don't dislike basketball, but it's not my favorite sport. When the Pirates are winning, even CIT success, you know, I did get into it. It gets exciting, and I was at Minji's for a couple of the CIT games a couple of years ago. And so, yeah, when you know, if you get some big bodies in here, you get some athletes, you get some guys who can compete at this level in the American, and we can compete, you know, and win more than 10 games and have a chance even to go to like a CBI tournament. Yeah, you're right. Guy, somebody like me will, you know, you people that are casual basketball fans or, you know, whatever, suddenly will be interested in Pirate basketball, and that six man will become a factor because instead of having 3,000 in there, we'll have 6,000 in there.
Right. My point was not to put you down. My point was just to point out that when you have the win, we have enough fans that love the school, that'll support it. It doesn't matter what the sport is. And you start winning a whole bunch of games, and those people will start coming. That was my point.
No, I got you, dude. I got you. I didn't think you were singling me out. I'm just speaking that, you know, like you said, you get a lot more people that are like, you know, that don't get into ECU basketball in general that will suddenly start supporting the program more when there's a better product on the field or on the court, rather. And the only way to do that is through recruiting because we got the coaching. The coaching is there now. So we got to recruit the players that can play at this level and develop them. And Dooley knows. Dooley's not going to screw around and be happy with being even mediocre. He didn't come to win 10 games or even 15 games. He wants to compete for NCAA tournaments. And, you know, he knows that no matter how much we love Joe Dooley and how much it's really nothing's his fault, you're only going to have a limited window. If you have two or three 10-win seasons, 12-win seasons, whatever, people are going to start calling for your head. Yeah. So he knows going into year two, he's going to have to step it up from 10 games, you know, and hopefully compete for in the conference and compete for a winning season overall next year.
And what hurts is, hey, Bubba, I was going to mention too, what hurts is when you think about Dooley is that you were already cut a few players, we mentioned before, and I saw where Igo had on voiceofcollars.net that Jeremy Shepard is actually going to, looks like, URI, Rhode Island, and it's like, well, basically, if he the stuff off the court, if he hadn't done that, he's one of my favorite players in recent years, and it's just a shame when you have guys like him that he would have helped us win some more games this year. No, there's no question about him, and yeah. There's a few players that, you know, hurt as far as our graduation rate and things like that, and it's sad when things off the court are more important than things on the court.
Yeah, Jeremy Shepard, he was a tremendous player. I hate that we weren't able to keep him, but things kind of have a way of working themselves out. And obviously, like you said, with some of his off-court issues and making decisions that weren't in the team's best interest, and obviously obviously his, it was probably his best that we had to part ways. But best of luck to him up at Rhode Island. He's going to be playing in a tremendous conference in the Atlantic 10. But a little bit more about J.J. Miles. Stephen Igo has a tremendous write-up, so definitely go check that out, Pirate Nation. And as far as J.J. Miles is concerned, I mentioned him lighting it up early in the JUCO tournament out there in Hutchinson, Kansas. You of course had Wichita State that's out there. Wichita State really liked him. He had a game where he put up 28 points and knocked down 6 three-pointers, and then also he grabbed, I think it was like 8 or 9 boards in that game. So he's 6'7", right at like 215, 220 pounds, and I saw some film on him. I really liked what I saw, and it's going to be nice to have that kind of guy playing the 2 or 3 position for us.
You know, Kyle, when and Bubba, when we're watching those games on television in person, and you see a guy wide open and he can't make a shot, I mean, after a while, I mean, that's why we're losing games. The guys have got to make – when you have an open shot, you got to be able to make it. Not you don't have to make every single one, but when you're missing a whole bunch of shots that you should make, that's why Dooley had to part ways with certain guys, and no disrespect to them, but we've got to have if we're going to be competing in the American in such a great basketball league, you got to have guys that have ice in their veins and that 10-12 foot jumper, right, Bubba? I mean, something that maybe it's not easy for me to make, but a guy that's at the level or supposed to be at the level they are, they should be able to hit more than not.
Yeah, when you're playing Division I basketball, I mean, and particularly at the guard spot, I mean, you have to be able to knock down those jump shots consistently, and that's something Isaac Fleming, love Isaac, and he brought an awful lot to the table in other facets of the game, but he just did not shoot the basketball very well, particularly from the perimeter. So,
especially at the beginning of the year, he started to get better, but
I can only imagine what Isaac could have done had he been able to shoot the ball from the perimeter just the way he was last year, where he was 25% to 30%.
Yeah, and another thing between that and then also, Bubba, I know we're looking at some bigs, right? I mean, we need a rim protector in the most desperate way if we can get one or two of those.
Yeah, a guy that I know, Stephen Igo's written up a lot about him on Hoist the Colors is a guy named Kadeem C. He was a former Virginia Tech player, and now is down. I'm trying to remember if it's Tallahassee Community College, but it's one of those.
It's a Florida school, right?
Yeah, it's a Florida JUCO, yeah. And I really like what I've seen out of Kadeem C. He's like 6'10", 240, 245. And would be just what we need on the interior, something we were sorely lacking this year. Jaden Gardner playing his heart out, but he's only 6'6", so it'd be nice to be able to play Jaden at the 3 or the 4 and then have a guy like Kadeem C. on the inside, so hopefully that'll work out to land him or someone else. Hopefully he's on good terms with Coach Rock. And Coach Rockefort can get him on campus, and we obviously already have a guy in, was it Tyree Jackson, and then also obviously Seth Ledet, who's a former Hokie already on campus. So hopefully those guys can help sway him.
That would be amazing. And then again, we, you know, Kyle, you said it best at the beginning of the season with the whole issue with Sean Williams, who was suspended for, I think it was 6 games. And you have Sean Williams, you have to think you could win 3, 4, 5. I mean, a few more of those games that we didn't win. It's just like a shame.
We early in the season, yeah, probably. You would have had a 13-14 win season. It would have sounded a lot better.
And another thing I failed to mention about J.T. Miles, I mentioned him being from Cape Fear. He's originally coming out of high school in North Carolina guy, as he was from Northampton County.
Oh, so he's up in the, like, the Roanoke Rapids area?
Yeah, it said his hometown is Gettysburg, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I know Gettysburg.
It said he's about an hour and a half from Greenville.
Yeah, Gettysburg is right. Yeah, it's right there near the Virginia line.
Okay, so right south of Emporia. A suburb of Emporia, if you will.
And I mentioned Wichita State having some interest in him. Some of the other schools that really picked up with the recruitment of Miles after his performance in the national tournament was Bobby Huggins and then in West Virginia, and also the likes of Colorado State and Hawaii.
So not too shabby there. And the great thing about it, I love Kyle, you and I are both
above
us too. I'm talking about you. We love aggressive like recruiting. And
the way
I feel about it is in the past with basketball, I feel like they go, well, we're East Carolina. We won't be able to get this guy. We won't be able to get it. Well, if you don't think you can get this guy and that guy, all of a sudden, who can you get? And I think there's been the wrong mentality. We're East Carolina. We're great, playing in a great league. We're playing in we've got a ton of great athletes. We're number 9 in the nation as far as population. There's no reason why East Carolina can't have a good basketball team. And I think some people need to, it's a small percentage, need to just relax and give Dooley a few years, and you'll see that. I want it to be where an NIT is actually a disappointment. I don't know about you guys, but that would be fantastic for me.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I would hope to. Shit, right now. Right now, CBI wouldn't be a disappointment.
No, I know. I'm not saying to be greedy. I'm saying that in years to come, that would be great a great problem to have where we're going, man, we just made the NIT. That's all. The CBI. Right now, any tournament postseason with CBI, NIT, right now would be amazing for us.
Yeah, speaking of the CBI, Dave, that's what USF, tremendous turnaround under Brian Gregory, and they're playing DePaul, a former Conference USA mate who guess what, guys, their coach is Dave Leto, who was there before, and then UVA hired him away, and things, he had some good times at UVA, but ended up resigning there, and now he's back, I guess, what, right at 15 years later. I'm not sure. I'll check on that, but it was game one of the 3-game series.
I was watching some of that earlier on ESPNU. South Florida was up by, I think, 8 in the second half.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll get that final.
So, yeah. The finals of the CBI, they do a 3-game format, the best of 3. And DePaul and USF
won.
Finals. USF won game one.
USF won game one, 63-61.
So they got to win one more, and they'll take the CBI championship.
Yep, they led by 6 at halftime and then held on. And David Collins, who we remember well, he had 23 points to lead the way, and South Florida knocked down 10 three-pointers in the game.
That's still amazing that Gregory, but it shows you the league that we have for the American, that a guy like him, a tremendous coach, is at USF, you know? I mean, you would think that he's an ACC. He was in the – with Georgia Tech. I still don't understand why he got fired from there. But anyway, that's the loss of Georgia Tech is the gain of USF, and good for them. It's good for the league. 7 out of 12 teams make the tournament, a postseason tournament, you can't argue with that.
And how relieved do you think the University of Memphis was when Georgia Tech hired Josh Pastner away from them?
Oh, yeah.
Because they were talking about making that move anyway, and then they didn't even have to make the move. Georgia Tech bought him away, and then they could move on with things with Tubby Smith, and then obviously
Penny Hardaway.
A year later, Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, Penny Hardaway is going to elevate this conference to unbelievable recruiting class. Isn't it 20, Bubba? The top 20 recruiting class.
Yeah, top 20 class.
I mean, that's just, all the people that want to talk junk about American, if that's not a Power 5, Power 6, recruiting class, what is? I mean, I don't understand. And I saw where it looks like starting off, we're like 68th right now, by the way, for recruiting for football. It's only one commit, right? Verbal commit that I saw.
That's all I know of.
Yeah, it's so early.
Picking up.
But Dave, getting back to that signing class, right? Quick,
yeah.
Memphis. That's what is the big guy is James Wiseman, literally and seven footer, who's the number one player in the nation, and he's a Memphis native.
The great thing about Memphis. It's such a basketball town. I joke about it, but I say you don't even, Penny Hardaway doesn't even have to get in the car. You can walk down the street and get great talent. And the great thing about Joe Dooley is, Kyle, and you're closer to the neck of where you were living, there in Lenoir County with Kinston, and you look at even in Pitt County, you have Farmville Central that went undefeated this year, and you have South Central. I mean, you've got lots of great basketball talent in Eastern North Carolina. That's literally a very, very short drive away from Greenville and East Carolina.
Yeah, definitely. If we could ever tap into much of the recruits in the East, I mean, Kinston, for example, produces a bunch of ACC talent and NBA talent historically.
Yeah.
So we don't really tap into some of that.
And we have the. It's what the middle of April is when we'll have more of the recruits, the commits, right, Bubba? Signing time.
I believe so. Yes.
I don't have those dates in front of me, but I know it's somewhere in that the middle of April, right after my birthday. And April.
Well, everybody sets their calendar by your birthday.
No, well, the reason I'm trying to have a nice segue. We have a very special event right before my birthday, April 13th,
yes.
Right?
That's right. The spring game is April 13th, and we need everybody to come out after the spring game to Professor O'Cool's from 5 to 7 p.m. to the spring game after party by the Sports Objective, and it'll be a good time, and we're going to have some special guests there right now. We got Marcus Crandall confirmed, Chris Moore. And who else, guys?
Our buddy Terry Gallagher is definitely coming back. I know we got to reach out to some more folks. We're working on that. I know Bubba.
Touchdown Tony's going to be there. Tony Collins, hopefully.
Kevin Walker,
83.
Yeah.
Some of the guys from the 78 team, I think, are. I don't know that Terry's been telling me about. I don't know if it's 100%, so I don't want to mention those. But the 78 team. There's sort of that era that Terry's been working on them to come in, and I know we're talking to a lot of different ones, and if you know of any players, tell them to come, and anybody in Pirate Nation is welcome. Notice we went to school, or we root for East Carolina, where it's not an exclusive, we're inclusive, so if you want to be a part of an exclusive one, then go to another school, but East Carolina, we're inclusive, so everybody in Pirate Nation is invited. I wanted to be so many people that will make Linus sweat. He listens to the podcast. I love you, Linus. But I know that we need to
even
make sure.
Everybody invited from Pirate Nation?
Yeah, come on.
Everybody. Even Captain Crunch?
Hey, we'll have him on, and that'll probably make some great it'll be podcast gold. I know where you're going. You and Captain Crunch would be podcast gold. Yes,
yeah.
Captain Crunch, come on. Bring it on, brother.
You gotta stay where you got. You gotta stay where his post got locked and got like 27 down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like normally I would say no, but there again, hey.
Howie, don't want him alone. I don't want to give him the press. I mean, sorry, I said his name.
Yeah, let's move on. But we're gonna have a great time, and definitely bring all your friends. Let's pack out O'Cools. They've been great to us in the Big Lots Shopping Center in Greenville. Everybody, if you don't know where it is, then just Google Professor O'Cools, Greenville Big Lots Shopping Center.
Yeah, Big Lots Shopping Center behind Logan's. If you know where that shopping center is, that's where O'Cools is. Come on out.
Greenville Boulevard
Come say hey to us. Come meet Chris Moore and Marcus Crandall. And you know, hopefully Touchdown Tony will be there. And you want anybody to sign something, just get them to bring it. Or you want to get anybody to sign something, just bring it. And I'm sure they'll be happy to sign it. I can't guarantee it, but I'm sure they will be.
Exactly.
Terry Gallagher, he'll sign anything you want him to. He'll only charge you $20 for his autograph.
Only 20.
It gives you a deal just for us.
Wow.
So it'll be fun. Spend a lot of money. Hey, you know, it is a party, but you know, we're not providing drink and food. That's on your own dollar. Bring a big wallet, exactly.
Linus says bring a big wallet and buy a whole bunch of wings. And you know, if we're pirates, there's going to be some alcoholic pirate beverages that you can have, and certainly that will get the tab going. That'll get the tab going right there.
And for all the pirate ladies out there, is it true, David, that we're going to have a shortest shorts and shortest skirt contest there for the start of the spring? Is that O'Cools? Is any truth to that rumor?
I haven't heard about that. I thought you were going. By the way, we're going to try to get – we did, thanks to Bubba. He tried very hard to get Pirate Steve. I thought that's where you were going. And we're going to try to see if we can get him in July for a nostalgia party.
Oh, we don't need Pirate Steve. We got Bubba Rosenbaum.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, exactly. We got to get Bubba there.
We'll go crazy for Bubba. Yeah. Bubba may not be there, actually, guys. So.
Yeah, that's TBD.
TBD. Well, I mean, can we do this without Bubba?
I don't know, man. It's kind of tough. It's kind of hard. We'll see what we can. We'll have to. Oh my God, we'll have to get Bunk on there, right? Maybe he can set
up. Oh, it'll be a three-man crew. Touchdown. So Terry Gallagher.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Terry. Terry Gallagher is gonna be filling in for.
We'll see. Bubba. I don't know. Bubba's like, wait a minute.
Terry will hijack the podcast.
Hey guys,
Just kidding, Terry. Just kidding.
Yeah. I know, it'll be fun.
As far as the basketball signing period, that we were correct. It is mid-April, and it runs through mid-May. So April 17th to May 15th.
And by the way, Kyle, the only reason I can remember that is the only reason I can remember signing day for basketball is because it's around my birthday. That's the only time I can remember.
Gotcha.
I don't know this that. But anyway, please come out to Professor Cool's. We're going to have a great time. Hey, Bubba, we got a great guest, don't we, tonight?
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Chris Edwards, who's the seventh-year play-by-play voice of the Duke Blue Devils, with the Blue Devils coming to Clark LeClaire on Wednesday night at 6:30. So let's go to that interview with Chris Edwards right now.
Obviously, baseball season, very excited to talk baseball anytime, for that matter, if it's off-season, in-season. Right now, Bubba, we got a very special guest, very happy to have him on.
Yeah, the last time the Pirates lost a baseball game, it was about 3 weeks ago to the Duke Blue Devils at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park. And now we're very excited to be joined by the seventh-year play-by-play voice, Chris Edwards. Chris, welcome into the show.
Hey guys, Chris. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you having me today.
Absolutely. We want to bring you on because I'll tell you what, I'm originally from Durham, and I can obviously say out of the gate, what a great job Chris Pollard has done with this baseball program at Duke. It used to be where it was really non-existent, and he's turned the program completely around, and a relevant team now. In addition to NC State and North Carolina, you got to worry about Duke and the Triangle.
Yeah, you know, it's been a whole lot of fun to see the development that Coach Pollard and the rest of the staff has done in revitalizing this program. You know, I've been very fortunate and very lucky to feel like I've had a front row seat. I was there from Coach's first year. He's part of the reason. He's the reason that I'm at Duke doing baseball. He hired me to do Duke baseball. You know, the first couple of years were lean years, were tough years, trying to get his players in there, change the culture, instill his philosophy. But you really knew from day one that Coach was going to get it figured out. And I mean, you look at that 2014 team, that made the ACC tournament for the first time in, I think, 7 or 8 years, were an inning away from going to the championship game of the ACC tournament and feeling like you just got left out of a regional maybe in 2014. And then to see Duke go 32-7 down the stretch of the 2016 season, make a regional for the first time in 55 years. And then last year, such a fun season last year with a great group of guys, win 40-plus games, have that magical run in Athens to come from the loser's bracket. And really, you're on the brink of elimination. You lose the first game, you're down 7-1, 8-1 to Campbell in the seventh inning. You come back and win. You beat Troy, win two games over Georgia in Athens, and then you're an inning away from going to Omaha facing a really good Texas Tech team. So it's been so much fun to see what Coach has done over the last 7-plus years.
You know, as a matter of fact, we actually, Chris, know that Texas Tech team very well. When 2016, we were twice, you remember that, guys, we were 90 feet away from Omaha and two different times and just couldn't get that run in. And so it's funny how things like that happen. You think that you're, oh, this is our year, and then we fell short.
Yeah, you know, and I will say Lubbock is a really tough place to go. They've got a great home field environment, and they're a great program, and Coach Tadlock does a great job at Texas Tech. But, man, you remember the losses, I think, more than you remember the wins. But it's certainly fun to think back and look at all the good moments that Duke baseball has had, especially over the last 3 or 4 years.
Chris, you take a look at this current team after beating ECU 3 weeks ago, and that snapped the 17-game losing streak, and I had heard Coach Pollard, maybe it was when we had him on preseason, but I had heard him talking about how there was a real emphasis placed on winning that game just because the Pirates had dominated that series so much, and then you put the 5 spot on the board in the first, and then the Pirates never really threatened after that, only 4 hits in the ball game. But since then, the Blue Devils have lost 9 of 11 and were swept in a 3-game series at North Carolina over the weekend. So talk about this year's team over the last few weeks since the Pirates played the Blue Devils in Dome, and tell us where things are now and some of the struggles.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of been a lot of different things. You look at this team, though, and you feel like they're really close to breaking out. You look at the last 5 ACC games, and 4 of those 5 games that the Blue Devils have lost have been by 1 run. So, you know, you just need that one more hit, that one more timely base hit, maybe to open up the floodgates. I will tell you that on Sunday, and I think Coach would tell you the same thing if he was sitting here talking to you, that one of the big issues for the team Sunday and over the last couple games has been the free offense. Too many walks, too many wild pitches. And that's something that Duke as a staff over Coach's tenure has really prided itself on, is not giving up those free bases, not giving good teams extra outs. I mean, you've seen that from Duke over the last several years, including last year when they went to a super regional. They just wouldn't give teams extra outs. And the one thing that people forget, and yeah, Duke's got a great deep pitching staff, but there's 400 innings that Duke has lost from last year's team, and you're still trying to figure out maybe what guys are going to go in what spot. There have been some injuries to the pitching staff, so guys are plugging some holes. And there's also been some injuries positionally. You look at Joey Loperfido, who didn't play against ECU in that first game 3 weeks ago, but he's a guy that was playing second base, was a freshman All-American for Duke last year, a guy that was hitting leadoff, so you lose maybe one of your defensive leaders. You lose your leadoff hitter, your lineup looks totally different. And when Loperfido comes back, hopefully sooner rather than later, you've got your leadoff hitter back, it lengthens your lineup, and it puts some guys back in a position defensively on the infield that they're more accustomed to. Right now, Erickson Nichols is playing second base. He's been a guy that's played the left side of the infield his entire career, but done a great job plugging that hole at second base. And Matt Mervis, who's a pitcher first baseman, playing third base probably for the first time since high school, Matt sort of found his rhythm there at third base, swinging the bat well. And there are some positive signs offensively from Duke Saturday and Sunday against North Carolina. I mean, you look at Duke, they out-hit Carolina 6 runs and 16 hits on Sunday. That's 15 guys on base. Yeah, that's a little bit of a concern. But I think for me the biggest concern is finding guys that can maybe find that rhythm on the mound and limit those walks and those hit-by-pitches and those wild pitches and minimize the damage, especially when a big inning might win.
Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to make a quick point. You know, I was thinking about this today, and I knew we were going to have you on, and we're just finishing up, almost basketball season. Unfortunately, there's nobody else left in it.
Yeah.
But you look at NC State, North Carolina, and now Duke in baseball, you can make an argument that in the triangle, the baseball program, even though people may not like to hear me say this, but I think the baseball program, as far as college baseball, is better right now than college basketball, because all three schools are doing so well right now.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's a fun environment. The one thing that I really hate is that Duke does not play NC State every year. I don't understand why the Big Four schools don't play each other in every sport every year, but especially in baseball. We played NC State last year in Durham, and before that it had been 3 years since we had played State, and I don't think we played them again for another couple of years.
Well, Chris, don't worry, because NC State don't play us either. So.
I was waiting. I knew that was going to come up on the – I was going to say it, so Kyle beat me to it.
I think that's more of the choice of the ACC and not maybe the choice of the team in Raleigh. How about that?
Yeah, it's only 20-some miles. It's amazing that in basketball it's maybe one time a year. And like you said, with baseball, it doesn't make sense. But
well, you look at them. I know we're talking baseball, but you look at the two football programs.
Yeah.
Duke and State hadn't played football since, what, 2013, 2014?
Yeah, it's been a few years. It's just amazing because they're so close together, even though Duke and North Carolina maybe are more the rival. But if you look at NC State, in proximity, it's a rival team. And it just doesn't make sense why you wouldn't play them at least twice.
No, but I agree with you. I mean, you look at the way that these programs have taken shape and the success that all three programs have had, obviously with North Carolina and NC State both recently getting to Omaha. I feel like they're in a super regional at least every single year. Duke and the success that they've had, a regional in two of the last 3 years. I think you can make the case for sure that college baseball is pretty good in the eastern half of North Carolina. That includes you guys down there in Greenville.
Yeah, I want to mention, too, to give a shout-out to your director of athletics. I'm not saying it because you're on the podcast, Kevin White. He has transformed the program, especially when you look at football and baseball, two sports that should be good. And he's actually, instead of just basketball and a few sports, it seems like he wants excellence in every single sport.
No, he absolutely does. And I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, and Duke is a special place for a lot of reasons. You're surrounded by greatness every single day, and you're around people that are going to make such a difference in their communities, whether it's presently or going forward. But I think the best thing about Duke, fans, you know, the academics and everything else, all the success on and off the field, are the people. There are really great people at Duke University, and it makes you want to fight and work just as hard for the person on the left and right, because everybody at Duke is going toward that same common goal. And it's a tremendous working environment, and that's credit to Dr. White and the people under him that he has brought in and that facilitate all of that.
You know what I want to mention, too, that we've had a tough few years, and people always say you're only as good as the weakest link. Well, Chris, we can tell you, Kyle, Bubba, and I can tell you, you're only good as the top,
mm-hmm.
and you guys have a great guy at the top, as director of athletics. The new director of athletics at East Carolina has been tremendous so far. So far, so good with John Gilbert, right, guys?
Yeah, huge improvement. Our previous athletic director was a babbling buffoon, so
well,
John is doing a good job so far.
We'll have the hot take there. He's our Stephen A. Smith, by the way. Chris,
I like it.
But seriously, with the two programs, it's nice. And again, I appreciate with Coach Pollard and Cliff Godwin playing each other, because it's. I know we were talking about this before, I think at the beginning of college baseball season or preseason, that every team in North Carolina, the bigs, like the Dukes, the North Carolinas, NC State, East Carolina, you know, you have App State, there's so many great baseball teams, UNC, Wilmington, Elon, they all should be playing each other. And that's why we've had a hard time understanding why the state game wasn't played last year. And then now we're not on the schedule with them. So hopefully that'll be rectified at some point. But as far as the game coming up on Wednesday, what are you looking for? Any storylines that are like really pressing? I know you're preparing for the game right now. What's on your mind right now?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is who does Duke throw number one? And I don't think that you're going to see maybe anybody overextending the ECU game on Wednesday to the point where they couldn't throw this coming weekend in a big conference series against Pitt. Coach, traditionally, especially on those Wednesday midweek games, doesn't want to throw anybody that's not going to have a chance to come back and help the ball club Friday or Saturday. So I'm curious to see what Duke does from a pitching standpoint in the game. I'm curious to see what ECU does as well. Obviously, you guys remember the game 3 weeks ago. Kuchmaner came in and was pretty good against Duke at the end of that game after that five-run first inning. And then he goes out and has a pretty good outing that Sunday at Maryland. So I'm curious to see what East Carolina does from a pitching standpoint. Hopefully we get to see Kuchmaner again because I really like him, really like his stuff. I really like that club that Cliff Godwin has assembled, too. It's always fun to get down to Clark LeClair Stadium and see everybody in the jungle and enjoy a great atmosphere.
Now, Chris, so when you take a look at Duke's pitching staff, you referenced earlier just what a tremendous staff it is. And that game 3 weeks ago in Durham, it was 6-6. Right-handed freshman from Norcross, Georgia, Cooper Stinson, who got to start that day for the Blue Devils. And then, that's what I know, last week in the midweek against Davidson, he had a tremendous start where he only allowed one hit in seven shutout innings, striking out 10 in that win over the Wildcats. So do you think we could see Cooper again, or they'll throw a different arm at the Pirates this time around?
Well, that's kind of my thought, is that it's probably going to be Cooper Stinson. Duke's playing an exhibition game Tuesday night against the Durham Bulls. So we'll see kind of what happens coming out of that game. But my guess is it's probably going to be Cooper. I don't expect him, like I said, to overextend to the point where he couldn't pitch this coming weekend. That's just speculation on my part. But Cooper seems to have really developed into that midweek role for Duke. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes for a young guy that's used to starting in coming out of high school, easier for him to get in that routine of starting a ball game versus coming out of the bullpen. Some guys are just more comfortable early in the game. And that's kind of the case for the guy that's starting on Friday nights for Duke now, Ben Gross. He's been great the last two Fridays. He's a fifth-year graduate transfer from Princeton, and kind of a roundabout way to answer your question. But Ben's a guy that's better when he comes out of the pen early in the game. The staff recognizes that, and he's been lights out against Wake Forest and against North Carolina in his last two starts. I think you can see some similarities there with Cooper. He can work with his flat ground work, go through his progressions, and be ready to go for that 6 o'clock first pitch versus a guy who maybe is better getting loose quicker. I'm not sure that Cooper is a guy yet that can get loose that fast and feel comfortable coming in. So it wouldn't shock me to see Stinson start the game, and I would honestly be a little surprised if it wasn't Cooper who gets the start, at least maybe one time through the batting order. Again, speculation. They may extend him. Who knows what Duke decides to do?
And how does Duke approach the exhibition game with the Durham Bulls? It's kind of an interesting caveat.
Yeah, this is the second time it's happened. Did it a couple of years ago, and really I think it was kind of a welcome to the big stage moment for Graham Stinson, who's really hanging on a lot of people's radar coming into this season. Graham was a freshman that year, had struggled with command a little bit, and really harnessed it, pitched 3 or 4 innings against the Bulls, one time through the batting order, basically. I think he struck out 7 or 8 and looked really good, and propelled that into the rest of his freshman season. My guess is there are a lot of guys that are going to pitch tomorrow. I wouldn't be shocked to see Duke throw 9 different guys just to get people some innings. Maybe guys that haven't thrown a lot during the course of the year. Because the game doesn't count, no one wants to get anybody hurt. I think you see a lot of different positional guys. Maybe some experimental stuff, too. I just think it's fun for everybody. It's good for the Durham community to have the two teams that play at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park and call it home to have a chance to play against one another. It gives the Bulls a chance to see some live pitching and field some ground balls off bats and stuff before they get ready to open up against Charlotte on Thursday. But it's a really, really neat thing that the Duke and the Bulls have come together to do, and hopefully a big crowd comes out Tuesday night for the game.
Chris, something that really stood out to me, you referenced Ben Gross and what he did in the pen prior to moving into a starting role. Also, you had Thomas Girard and Hunter Davis. Those guys have 12 and 14 appearances, respectively, all in relief. And you look at them, they all have the trio of Girard, Davis, and Gross have 20-plus innings pitched, and opponents are batting less than 190 against all three of them.
Yeah, you know, I joked about this on our radio show with Coach on Monday. Thomas Girard has to be the best 0-4 pitcher in America. He's 0-4 and he's allowed, I think, 4 runs this season. But that's the life of a guy at the back end of the bullpen. Got a great breaking ball, really good fastball. And he's a guy that really used summer baseball to help him. Kind of got into a rhythm playing every single day, was able to develop the off-speed stuff a little bit more. And then once he got back to campus in the fall, in August and September, was used to being in a routine, kept that routine going, worked with the pitching coach, Dusty Blake, and he's made a lot of great strides. A guy that threw, I think, 6 or 8 innings for Duke last year. And it's so much fun to see the development and maturation of these guys. And it's the same way with Hunter. You know, Hunter Davis is the reason that Duke won that regional in Athens last year. Hunter came in that first game against Troy when Duke's getting beat 7-1, 8-1. Hunter comes in and throws 4 or 5 innings, wraps up that ball game, saves the bullpen for the rest of the week. And if Hunter doesn't do that, Duke's not in the position to come back and win that regional. He's done that again. This has been that steady Eddie, one of the two team captains for Duke. And it seems like Hunter bounces back quicker than anybody that I've seen in a long time. Just that repeatable delivery. And that was the big key for Hunter, figuring out, okay, where's my release point? And then getting that release point every single time. It's almost like a golfer. And once you get that swing that none of us can perfect, if you can keep finding that same slot in your swing, I guess you're going to be a pretty good golfer. Hunter's found that release point, and he's been very effective for Duke this year.
I know with the guys with the, I know with this ball game. I wanted to ask you, Chris, too, as far as the postseason. I know the coaches won't look ahead, but as an announcer right now, how do you think Duke is stacking out? I know there's a lot of always these not a mock draft, but like for tournament. How do you? Where do you see Duke in projections? Thank you. Where do you see Duke as far as the postseason?
You know, I think, I mean, obviously the club right now, as you guys know, struggling a little bit, but I think once Lil Profito gets back and they can get some guys healthy, and they're close. I mean, like we said, 4 of their last 5 losses in ACC play have come by 1 run. So it kind of reminds me of that 2016 team that got hot in the middle of April and just stayed hot for the rest of the season. So I really would be not surprised to see that happen again. I'd be surprised if that didn't happen, to be honest with you. I think it's a team that's probably, you know, in the postseason, if they can continue to play well. Their ACC schedule was kind of front-loaded. I mean, you have Louisville and North Carolina in 2 of your first 3 ACC weekends. You've got some winnable games, I think, coming up. Pitt's improved, but I think some winnable games this weekend against Pitt. Then Virginia Tech is at home, 2 weekends at home. Need to capitalize there. And then you go on the road to Boston College, go on the road to Clemson. That's a tough spot. But then, I guess, some winnable games down the stretch for Duke as well. My guess and the projections that I've seen, you take everything with a grain of salt. I saw one a couple of weeks ago, I think, from Baseball America that had Duke as a 3 seed going to Baton Rouge to take on LSU and a couple other teams. I think the 3 seed probably somewhere where Duke would fit in. Maybe Baton Rouge. I've seen Oregon State as well. It's too early to tell, but I do think the pieces are there for this team to make a run and at least get back to another regional. As you guys know, once you get in the postseason, you get a guy that's going well one night, you win your first game, you're in the winner's bracket, anything can happen. And of course, or you can come out of the loser's bracket and score 11 runs in the ninth inning of one game and never look back.
You just never know. Baseball is such a funny regard. Yeah, in that regard, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you come to the ballpark every day. That's one of the reasons I come to the ballpark every day, is because no two games are ever the same. And you never know what you're going to see. I tell people you always see something that you've never seen before at a baseball game every single day. And that's been true over the last 7 years for me.
And you have, like, with East Carolina, where you already beaten Wilmington twice last year. Then you host a regional for the first time in a number of years, and the first time for Cliff Godwin with his program. And you have a rain delay. You have a guy like Agnes was like throwing out of his mind, and then you have how many hours is that? Like 7 hours, guys?
Yeah,
like seven hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous how long. You can't put him back out there, right? Obviously, and it was like all of a sudden where you're up like 6-0, and then they had a blown call at first. It was just a bad experience. But like the guys, women, including Kyle, it's like, we got a raw deal in the seating to have Wilmington as great as they are, and Coach Caff, and knowing Cliff, and we'd already beat them twice. Hard to beat a team 3 times, so
sure.
It's really tough. Tough out.
Yeah, that's probably the best 4 seed in the entire tournament last year, and not to mention we had already beat them twice, but that was last year. Time to move on to this year.
Exactly. We can't do anything about last year. That's what's great about the new season. Chris, I tell you what, man, it's a great to have, again, Duke come into Greenville. I know there's a lot of people that are fired up and excited about this game at Clark LeClair. Do you know of, last question for you, do you know of how many people from Duke will travel? Do we guys have a number of fans come or students or?
My guess is they'll have a fair amount. I'm not exactly sure how many folks will show up. It'll be a Wednesday. And, you know, Duke, for whatever reason, a lot of kids from around the country, not a ton of North Carolina kids. We've got a couple local kids, so I imagine there'll be a decent contingent. But I'm not exactly sure what to expect from a crowd standpoint. I know there'll be a lot of purple and gold in the stands. I do know that for sure.
No doubt about it. It's going to be fun. And before we let you go, how can people follow your work and certainly with social media?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate you asking. I'm on Twitter. It's @Chris_Edwards. Make sure you include those two underscores. You can also, if you want to listen to the broadcast, where all our games are on GoDuke.com and on the TuneIn Radio app. If you download TuneIn Radio, it's a free download. Just search for Duke Blue Devils, and I will be there 15 minutes before every game starts.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. I know, guys, we are very appreciative of you coming on, and look forward to a great game on Wednesday night.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Chris. A great job. He's a lot of fun, and he's going to come back on with us, so I'm sure we'll have him back on definitely very soon. Maybe the Blue Devils in the postseason. We'll see if they can go to a regional. I think they'll go, like he said, something like that, to Louisiana, to Baton Rouge. Have you ever been to Baton Rouge? To Baton Rouge?
No, I've never. You, Bubba has been to Baton Rouge.
I've
never been to Baton Rouge. David, you've been to Baton Rouge?
Yeah. It's actually, I'm going to tell you, it is a really cool town. It reminds me a lot of, and if people say, I can't stand when people say that, but it reminds me a lot of Greenville. It's a college town. And
a lot of purple and gold.
Yeah, they got the right colors.
They like
that
the
stadium,
party.
And by the way, that stadium, Bubba, is massive. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That's what
is massive. Wow.
My visit to Baton Rouge came back in 2012 when the Pirates were playing in the New Orleans Bowl against the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. My buddy Britt Johnson and I, we made the road trip, and it was a lot of fun, even though we didn't win the ball game, of course. A girl named Erin St. Ledger, who was a ECU softball player, was actually working at LSU in sports marketing at the time, and she was nice enough to show us around the facilities, so it was pretty cool to see they had a game day locker room and then a separate locker room, and we got to see both of those. And then also just very briefly walk out onto the field there at Tiger Stadium.
You're talking about that day. That was a very special day in my life. Do you know why? It was December 22nd, 2012. And you know why I remember that?
When your kids were born?
No, it's right up there. That's when my wife said, yes, she would marry me. So that's a very I definitely can't remember. I definitely can't forget that day is what I'm trying to say. So very special day when my wife said, yes, she would marry me in December 22nd, 2012. So there you go. There you have it. That way you'll know when we had our engagement. So I was supposed to ask her on Christmas Day, and I just couldn't wait. My sister said, just go ahead and ask her now. And so I did.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome story, right? We didn't win the game, but I did win her. So that worked out.
What would Jeff Charles say right now?
Great, neat story, right?
Cool, neat story.
Yeah, cool, neat story.
Yeah. All right. So moving right along.
Cool, neat story.
Yeah, now we need to have a We do have a great story, a great thing we're going to talk about, topic. So a lot of times we talk about stuff about the Pirates or sports, but we thought we'd throw this in as fun. Kyle and I were talking before we recorded the podcast, we were talking about burgers, and so I thought it'd be a great idea. Kyle and I put our heads together, and let's talk about your favorite,
burgers.
Yeah. Burgers.
Favorite,
we love to. All three of us love to eat. So
yeah, let's categorize, guys. Let's categorize. We're going to do this. We're going to do it right. We need favorite fast food burger. We need favorite casual dining restaurant burger. That would be like your Chili's, your Outback, and Five Guys. I would throw in there too. And then we need favorite local burger from any local restaurants. You know, mom and pop places. So I'm going to go. So who wants to go first with the We'll do fast food. What is your favorite fast food burger, David?
Oh, gosh. I think I'm getting ready to have one. I would say my favorite is probably a Whopper. Whopper with cheese is one of my favorites.
Whopper with cheese from Burger King, a classic choice.
Yeah, that's my all-time. I can eat more than that, and there's a lot, but I'm not going to rattle off all the ones. I'll just stick with one, and I'll go with the Whopper with cheese.
All right. Bubba, favorite fast food burger?
Let's see. I'll go with the Baconator from Wendy's.
The Baconator.
Oh, man, that is a good one.
It's a good one. A lot of bacon. Very fattening, but very good. It's an excellent choice. Excellent choice, Bubba. Yeah, for me, you know, I don't know. The Baconator's good. You know, you mentioned the Whopper. You can't go wrong with a Whopper. I like the Supersonic Bacon Cheeseburger's good. It's a tough choice for me being a fat guy. I take the burger discussion very serious here.
Very rarely a burger that Kyle doesn't like.
This is very true.
He's never met a burger he didn't like.
I also like Checkers a lot. Checkers.
Oh my God!
Of course,
yes.
Their fries are my favorite.
Really good.
If we're going to go fast food, and just readily available fast food, I'm not going to dive into hard to find fast food places. I guess I'll probably go Wendy's classic double with cheese.
Ooh.
So
I haven't had one of those, and you're making me get. Well, I want to go there tomorrow and get one. I haven't had a double with cheese in for years.
Classic double with cheese. All right. So now after the fast food,
I got another. Can I give you another category? By the way.
Sure.
We were talking about this. You forgot the one category.
All right.
And we'll do this one, the last one.
Okay.
How about sandwiches, burgers they don't sell anymore? Do you remember that?
Yeah, we'll do that too.
Okay. But let's go to the next one.
Favorite casual dining. This could be anything from a Five Guys to an Outback.
Okay, I'll go first. I have a couple, and they're from right there in Greenville. Winslow's. Winslow's has really good burgers and also Crossbones.
Whoa. No, wrong category. That would be mom and pop place. We're talking chain.
Okay.
Chain, chain restaurant. Yeah, that'll be the third one.
Yeah, so you got like any mom and pop, or excuse me, any chain, like Chili's, Five Guys, In-N-Out. You ever had Five Guys?
It is really good.
I want to make a joke for that. I'm not going to do it, though.
Well, go ahead.
We'll let everybody figure that one out.
Let's talk about Five Guys In-N-Out. Yeah.
I'll go with Chili's.
Chili's? Any particular burger at Chili's?
And I may be mixing this up, but the I think they have one. I may be mixing this up with Applebee's because it's been a while since I've had it. But it's like a rodeo burger. I'm not sure what they call it, but with the onion straws and barbecue sauce.
Yeah, a lot of places do that. Ruby Tuesdays used to have a really good version of that.
Yeah,
called the Smokehouse Burger, maybe.
Oh yeah,
and,
I know what you're talking about.
It used to be fantastic. I got two. Off the top of my head, that I'll go with I keep thinking of other things. I'll go three. And I have a three-way tie. Western Sizzlin'.
Ooh.
That's right, Western Sizzlin'. Now, who the hell even thinks of Western Sizzlin'?
They've got a great one in Wilson.
They got great burgers. That's the best burger in Goldsboro is at Western Sizzlin'. I like their mushroom twists, and I get them to put it on Texas toast instead of the hamburger bun. After that, I'll go Five Guys. Five Guys, just get the burger however you want. It can't go wrong. Then after that, I'm going to go with, I'm going to consider this a chain instead of a mom and pop because I know there's five of them down in the Myrtle Beach area, and that's River City. I don't know if you guys have ever eaten at River City. There's like five of them in the Myrtle Beach area.
Not yet.
They got fantastic burgers. they got some unique burgers, like a peanut butter burger and things like that. But yeah, those would be my casual. And Dave, you for casual dining.
You mentioned you stole my thunder on one, well, the name of the restaurant thing, but I haven't had them in a good while. I don't know if they still have them, but at one point, Ruby Tuesdays had one of my favorite. I love all different types of burgers, so you've already named some of them, but like styles or whatever, but mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of sliders. I really love sliders, and like,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wish we could open up, the three of us could open up a Crystal Burger or White Castle. That's my kind of like diversion.
Sliders
like
are great, yeah.
So I would go, I'm going to say.
Dave, they do still have sliders, man. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I just seen a commercial where Ruby Tuesdays is promoting their sliders. You get sliders aside in the salad bar for $11 or something like that.
Oh, wow. I love it. And that's my favorite. By the way, I know this is a sidebar. That's my favorite salad bar.
It's a salad bar.
Yeah.
No, their salad bar is unbelievable at Ruby Tuesdays. That their salad bar, by far and away, is better than anybody else's.
And if we have a gas station...
Well, hell, not that many places have salad bars anymore.
No, that's a lost art. It really is. You're correct. I think one of the reasons they the food cost for a salad bar is, it's got to be... I mean, I would think uneducated mind...
I would imagine it's a lot of wasted food up there every day, yeah. You know, their salad bar is tremendous at Ruby Tuesday, but... Okay, so Ruby Tuesdays would be your favorite for their sliders?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now we go mom and pop. We go mom and pop. And guys, I'm going to tell you, for mom and pop, I don't know the name of the place right now off the top of my head. But there's a place. I'm having a brain fart. I can't even think of the name of where it's located. The island, guys, off the coast of North Carolina, you got to take a ferry to.
Oh, you're talking about... Oh my God! Everybody's yelling at it right now. Oh, hold on. Ocracoke.
Ocracoke. There's a place on Ocracoke Island, and I wish I could think of the name of it right now. I have a cup if I want to go in my cabinet and find it. I can tell you the name, but it's on the inner dock that's like on the lake. There's like a lake. If you've ever been to Ocracoke, there's like a lake in the middle of the island, not the ocean. And there's a little place there on the dock there that I cannot think of the name of, but it's outside. And they just have seafood and burgers. And you sit outside, and their burgers are so freaking good. Oh, my God. Just unreal good. But I can't think of the name of it, so I'm absolutely telling nobody a damn thing because I can't think of the name of the restaurant. But if you're ever in Ocracoke, find that place. Because their burgers, I mean, when you initially want to get seafood, but I had had so much seafood in my last trip to the Outer Banks, I didn't want any more seafood. And so I said, you know, I want a burger. I'm sitting here on Ocracoke Island eating outside. You immediately want to get seafood. I said, I'm going to get a burger. The waitress suggested I got a burger if I didn't want seafood, and the burgers were fantastic.
Oh my God, that sounds oh my God, that makes me want to.
Yeah, because you're sitting outside,
yeah,
you know, drinking a cold beer, eating a burger on a Coke Island. It maybe tasted like crap, and I just thought it was
good. The scenery, unreal. Everything was great.
Yeah, it was unreal. And I'm going to go look in the cabinet. You guys keep on going with this discussion and see if I can find that. What's the name of that place on it?
Bubba, you—you I know you were talking downtown Greenville.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Winslow's. At Winslow's, kind of the version of their version, I should say, of the rodeo burger. Like I was mentioning earlier, it's called the Jailhouse, where it has bacon, pepper jack cheese, barbecue sauce, and onion straws. And that's really good. And then also the Hometown, which is their version of the pimento cheeseburger, that has bacon and fried green tomatoes. And then at Crossbones Tavern, their pimento cheeseburger is really good as well.
I've never been to either one of those places, but I'm going to go down Fifth Street, close to campus, and y'all know where I'm going. Back in the day, it's one
Checkers.
Of my favorite places.
What? Checkers. Cubbies.
No, I do love, that's another one that would make an honor, that's one of my favorite places to get a burger. And on the other end of Fifth Street, like you're going on Reed Circle there, is Sub Dogs. Man, they've got wow, their burgers, their hot dogs.
You know,
oh,
I've never
God.
Been to Sub Dogs. If you can,
we need to
that.
Go there. We need to go there. Maybe we can go there before a game. Oh my God, it is really. And now that, I haven't been there since they have the double deck, the top deck now, which is awesome. But they have really done a nice job with their burgers, everything, and so I have to say that's the, and there's another place in Durham on 9th Street. When I was living there and living in Durham, and I was actually Kyle, you'll love this place. And I can't think of the name of the actual name of the hamburger, but the place is called Danes, D-A-I-N-S, Danes, and they have a burger. I want to say it was like the heart attack, or they had something like that, and it was massive. It was like one of the greasiest burgers I've ever had in my life, but it was so good. And it was, oh, my God, it was so delicious. I'd love to go back there. But it's called Danes. I don't know if they're still open. D-A-I-N-S, Danes Burger. Like, they had a lot of great burgers and stuff on 9th Street.
Got a couple of throw-outs. It's Dave, being here in Martin County, and I grew up there. Deadwood, I don't know if they still do, but they used to have a really good burger there in Beargrass.
They do. No, they do.
And I'll tell you, another place in the 90s. Now, you had moved away from Martin County by the time this place was real popular, and has since changed ownership a half a dozen times. But in the mid 90s, there was a little gas station there on the corner of Prison Camp Road called Stanley's.
Yeah, it's called the Zulu Mart now.
The Zulu Mart. Well, my dad called it something else. But at Stanley's, they used to have the Stanley Burger. And I don't know if you ever had the Stanley Burger. Like I said, you weren't in that area at that time. It was fantastic. About a quarter to a half pound burger with lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, pickles, and chili. And it was fantastic.
And they have a great, right now, I've had it. They have a really good, you and I were talking about this, Kyle. Not a burger, but I know they have a great Philly cheesesteak right there.
Oh, yeah, the current owners? Okay.
Dave, are you eating a burger right now?
I am.
Okay, guys, the name of the place in Overcook, McNelly's.
All right.
McNelly's Bar and Grill, 5 stars on Google reviews. McNelly's Bar and Grill, delicious dockside dining, fun and festive atmosphere. And, guys, if you're ever in Overcook, go to McNelly's. I'm sure the seafood's great, but I'm telling you, the burger's fantastic.
I have a Whopper with cheese right here I'm eating right now. It's delicious.
It's not as good as the burgers at McNally's.
I gotta check it out.
Yeah, just go take the ferry to Overcook just to go eat there.
This sounds like definitely a great date night for my beautiful wife. We can do that this summer.
Overcook's fantastic, dude.
I haven't been to Overcook.
Bob, have you ever visited the lovely island of Overcook?
I have. It was back, I guess, mid-90s or so, though. So I need to go back. I remember when my family and I, we visited there on summer vacation, I think there were two options to eat then. I mean,
it's changed a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a hotel that had a nice restaurant, and that's where we ended up eating. And I'm trying to remember the other option, but there were literally only two options.
Yeah, Overcook's limited on how much it can grow, but the dining options and other little things to do. There was a really cool T-shirt shop there. Now we're just promoting Overcook at this point, but there was a really cool T-shirt shop, and you guys know I print T-shirts. So anytime I'm praising a place that sells T-shirts, they. They were a really cool place. They sold, I'm not sure if they printed their own stuff. It came across to me as they did. But what they had a bargain area of stuff that I don't know. It's just, I don't know if it was from years past that didn't sell or just things that were printed slightly crooked or whatever. And they had like, nothing was over like $5 in that area. And it was a huge area.
Wow.
So, yeah, I always dig stuff up.
Yeah, it was, and just
North Carolina, if you've never, you listen to the podcast, you've never been, we're travel and tourism now, but there's so many great places in North Carolina that I've never been. So maybe we could do a podcast with.
Now, Dave, you've been to Overcook?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
It was, gosh, it's been a long time, though, Bubba. I'm right with you. I want to say 94. It's probably the last time I've been. So I need to go. It's been 25 years ago. Wow. I hadn't thought about it. Summer of 94.
Yeah, we my mom, unfortunately, decided to move away from the Outer Banks and back to Kinston. God only knows why any human being in their right mind would do that.
We love you, Kinston. Okay.
But anyway, so I lost my free place to stay at the Outer Banks, but we used to go to the Outer Banks all the time up to this past summer, and, you know, we were there, take the ferry over to Overcook or whatever.
Yeah. And now you got to do it on some...
now I got to on my own dime, not somebody else's. So that's that sucks.
We'll have to. We need to have a sports objective. Maybe we can have a retreat out there at Overcook. We'll talk to the good folks.
Okay, let's do it.
That sounds like a great, like a winner. Maybe we can have
coming to you live from Smack Miller's.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. We can do a live podcast from there. Yes, our summer retreat live from Overcook.
Fantastic.
That'll be tremendous. By the way, we need to do. We haven't done our last category for burgers.
Bob, I bet Stacy would even be down for that. I bet you could get her excited. We're going to go spend
a weekend. Oh, my God, yeah. Finally, she loves the cold pasta.
Okay, that's how it's going. We're doing a podcast for Greek.
Hey, finally, she loves the podcast. We love you, Stacy.
Stacy would get behind that, so maybe not.
Well, she would be behind the trip until she found out a podcast was involved, and then
you just tell her we were hanging out. You're hanging out with all of us down there in our watch, and then we'll just slip out the recorder while we're
we'll record this podcast at 8 a.m. while Stacy's still asleep.
Yeah, my wife will still be asleep too. That's a good idea. We'll get up early, and by the time they wake up, we'll be done. Set the lure for about 7.
We'll go fishing and record a podcast.
There you go. I like that idea. That would be fun. Our last category for burgers is burgers that they no longer make, like it'd be a chain or some ones that maybe fast food that you like that, daggone it, they don't make it anymore.
We talked about earlier, you know, Burger King just brought back a version of the Stackers. They're calling them the Stackers.
Yes.
But the original BK Stackers were fantastic. What else? Dave, you're Bubba, you guys remember McDonald's BMT?
Oh, yeah. 90s, wasn't it?
80s, late 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s, I've got one.
Else? Go ahead.
I used to love the original Hardee's when they had, they brought it back, the Big Twin. It was kind of like their version of the Big Mac with their sauce. Also, in the 80s, they had a burger called the Big Deluxe.
Yeah.
I used to love that one. Those two come to mind for sure. The original fish sandwich from Burger King used to be called the Whaler. That's not a burger, though, but I used to love it. We're going to talk fast food a little bit. I used to like that a lot. And let's see. Well, of course, they bring it back. I love the McRib.
It's back running in December. Yeah.
I wish it was year round, but anyway, I guess that's what makes me like it so much. If they don't have it all the time, it would probably be like, meh. So that was probably a good thing that they do that. Do y'all have any more burgers that?
I'm just trying to think. I know I'll be able to think of 100 things. Just fast food items in general that they took away that I wish they would bring back. My brain's not working right now.
And let me say this too. Sometimes they have like great ideas, but then sometimes you're like, don't mess it. I tell you one thing that drives me crazy is like when it seems like they're getting bored with a product. So like all these different sodas that they have to, you have the original soda and then they
try to
do
different
versions.
As long as they keep making it. If you want to make new versions of it, that's fine. Just don't come out with a new Coke and do away with Coke.
Oh, my God.
And then have to bring back Coca-Cola Classic. If you want to make orange vanilla Coke and it wants it to taste like orange vanilla ass, that's fine. As long as I can still get a Coke and a cherry Coke.
And you like a Sun Drop. Diet Sun Drop, right?
Oh, man, I love Sun Drop. I love Sun Drop. Cherry lemon Sun Drop. You're talking about flavors. Cannot find it in this area. Bubba lives in an area where you can find it. Oh, you've never had cherry lemon Sun Drop, Dave? Oh, my God, Bubba.
I've had Sun Drop and Diet.
Yeah. Can you hook us up with cherry lemon Sun Drop the next time you come down?
I'll do it.
You're coming down on the 13th, hopefully. So.
Yes, please bring us some cherry lemon Sun Drop.
Will do.
I love it. It's like the nectar of the gods. It's tremendous. But I'm trying to think of other things that they. By the way, that orange vanilla Coke you see every time it's on TV, if you haven't tried it, don't try it. It's disgusting.
I've heard people talk about it. I've never tried it.
It's gross.
I haven't with the Sun Drop, though. That was pretty cool. I like Sun Drop, so.
Yes, cherry lemon Sun Drop is great. You need to try it. Other fast food items so that they've taken away or brought back. You guys remember when McDonald's had a full line of McFlurries instead of just M&M and Oreo?
Oh, yeah.
When they had Reese's Cup and Butterfinger. Yes. And I used to love. And they brought back the Reese's Cup McFlurry a couple years ago and took it away again.
Yeah.
That was great.
One of the things I remember from my childhood, a lot of times we'd get these just something quick and easy on the way to the Little League ball field or on our way to watch a game or whatever, and that would be at KFC. They had the Chicken Littles.
Oh, yeah. They brought those back. They're not like they used to be. They're not like they used to be, Dave. All they do now is take a chicken strip, one of their chicken strips, and put it on a bun and say, oh, it's Chicken Little. No. What Bob is talking about was a little tiny chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
They were like, I don't know, 80 cent, and they were delicious. And the commercial used to go, Chicken Little.
Yeah, that got about that well.
Great. I'll tell you
what KFC needs to bring back.
The KFC Twister.
How about this? How many of you, I don't know if you like them, but.
Honey barbecue wings, they used to be great.
No, those are good. No, the chicken livers. I'm a big fan of chicken livers.
Oh, man, dude, I love fried chicken livers. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. They used to have it's now Giddy Up Coffee in Williamston, and we'll have a big announcement about that in a few months. But anyway, I'll just tease with Giddy Up. That's the old KFC. That KFC had chicken livers. Oh, my God. That Kentucky Fried Chicken.
They were good.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, David mentioned it earlier about the burgers. Western Sizzling in Goldsboro, if you ever get their food bar, they got fantastic chicken livers.
Oh, my God, I love it.
This has become the chicken liver
podcast. The chicken livers.
I guarantee you, you'll never see KFC sell chicken livers again. Never going to be seen at a chain restaurant.
Do they have that at, I know a lot of the barbecue places have those. So,
they used to have them at Wilbur's.
They had them at Bill's, unfortunately.
Wilbur's is shut down at those Bill's, so no more chicken livers. You could get chicken livers as a side at Wilbur's. That was always a favorite of mine, the side of chicken livers.
Bubba, do you like chicken livers?
Never had them.
You've never had fried chicken livers, Bubba.
Oh, my God.
You've got to get back to your Southern car.
Ask your daddy about, Daddy, do you like chicken livers?
Yeah.
Don't confuse them with gizzards.
No, I'm not. I'm a livers guy. I'll stick to my chicken livers.
Some people love gizzards. I can't do it, man.
No, it's not me. I'll stick to them.
There's a little gas station here on 903 where I live, about, I guess, a mile and a half from my house that has a little grill, and they do fried chicken livers. And they're fair. They're fair.
Unbelievable,
but fair.
How about cheese biscuits?
Oh, man, right there in your hometown, the Shaw's Cheese Biscuit, my friend.
You guys are very good.
Bojangles, if you're going to go chain, their cheese biscuit, Cheddar Bo.
Abrams has a really good cheese biscuit.
Yeah, famous cheese biscuit Abrams, yeah.
What about you, Bubba?
You?
Do you like the Hoop cheese?
Let's see, yeah. As far as the cheese biscuit, I mean, I certainly had my share growing up when I was a finicky eater, and I'd say probably the cheese biscuit that I had the most was probably Hardee's.
Bubba, have you ever had the big, like at Shaw's, and I think Abrams maybe the same way, it's like a big, huge cheese biscuit.
Like hoop cheese, right?
And it's fully clothed in, almost like a pie. And you rip it in half, and the cheese just come oozing out in the middle.
No.
Oh, my God, you're missing out, dude. You are missing out, my friend.
It is really good.
Another good cheese biscuits is the rolls they have, the cheese biscuits at Pirate's Voyage down at Myrtle Beach. Those are pretty good.
Never had that.
No, I haven't either.
Oh, you're talking about that stupid Dixie Stampede Pirate Voyage thing, right?
Yeah, we've been a couple times to take the kids.
I hate it. I went to that thing. I was like, this is so stupid. I just couldn't get into it. I mean, I guess if you got kids, I just couldn't. I'd much rather go to Medieval Times. I enjoyed Medieval Times 500 times more. Have you done that, Bubba?
I have.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You enjoyed Pirate's Voyage better?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I can't truly compare. But, like I said, Pirate's Voyage, I can see where you're coming from. I mean, it was okay, but it's something that we just did because the kids enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I could certainly do without. It's extremely overpriced, which you expect.
Yeah.
It's Myrtle Beach.
In Myrtle Beach,
you're paying for the obviously the ambiance and then the show you're seeing.
Yeah, yeah, and they bring in big time like stuff. And we need to do.
I got stuff talking about fast food things that don't exist anymore. The chili cheese burrito at Taco Bell. That's one that I miss. I don't know why they don't have that anymore. It was really a simple thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I missed that.
That was only like 89 cents, right?
It was cheap and it was good.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, there are so many things that I know I'm going to hang up and I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot this, and this.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I am. I'll tell you what, can we put it up on Facebook, Bubba? Well, maybe people will chime in on. We'll get something going on there and Twitter maybe, but that would be great. And then
what you just want me to ask what people's favorite burger is? And then the one that we get the most votes, so maybe we'll take the top four and make a poll out of it.
Final four.
There you go. Final four burgers. There you go.
You guys remember
job.
When McDonald's had cherry pies?
Oh, yes, I did. I used to get those for sure. You remember when I won't touch that one.
What's that? What were you going to say?
You remember when McDonald's used to serve ice cream? No, because every time you go, they're...
Well, you go at night. They got to clean that ice cream machine, Dave.
Oh, my God.
They got to clean that ice cream. Hey, look, I went to McDonald's Thursday when I got off work. We pull up to the drive-thru, and I said, yes, let me get a medium caramel frappe. The girl goes, our frappe machine's down. Would you like a milkshake? I said, can you put coffee in the milkshake? And she said, what? I said, can you put coffee in the milkshake? And I heard her ask somebody. She said, no, we can't do that. I was like, well, then why did you offer me that?
Don't get me started on that. I'll go off. But, hey, you know what we need to do? So you guys will be thinking. And our great listeners, we need to do, because it's summertime, and I know Kyle, I don't know about you, Bubba, but Kyle and I were talking about this before we recorded a podcast several weeks ago. We need to talk about the top places about amusement parks. It could be local places. It could be national ones that you've been to, favorite rides. Let's do that sometime soon, since now we're getting to that era.
Bubba was talking about his favorite amusement park earlier tonight from his childhood.
What is that?
What's it called, Bubba?
Kyle's wrong as far as it being my favorite. Is not somewhere I ever attended.
Oh, come on, Bubba.
But I came across it recently. I'm trying to remember if it was on a 20 for 20 I mean, the show 2020, but it's Heritage USA. It was in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Oh, and, that was.
It was
the PTL.
Yeah.
Jim and Tammy Faye Baker or whatever, and this is back in 1986. It was the third most visited amusement park what have you, behind Disney World and Disneyland.
Hey, that would be a great part of the category. We can talk about places no longer existing, including
R.I.P. the legendary Myrtle Beach Pavilion.
Yeah, and how about we have that. How about also when you're thinking about place it used to be in Nashville when they
had
Opryland. That was back in the 80s on the Nashville Network. Gaylord Entertainment owned the Nashville Network.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go there so bad, and now it's a outlet mall.
Yeah, and they still have the Opryland Hotel.
Right.
Even though there's no more Opryland.
But I always wanted to go there, and I always wanted, we'll talk more about that. We'll tease that for right now. We'll table that to another time, as they say. Guys, I know y'all are tired. We were recording this early, and we'll get this podcast out. Good luck to the Pirates against Duke on Wednesday. We got a big series, I know, Bubba, this weekend, and we'll have Sam Rass from the Scott and Holman podcast this weekend, right?
Yeah, the Pirates will be starting an 8-game road trip as they'll be going out to take on the Cougs. And the Cougs have been struggling a bit, so they'll definitely be extremely hungry as the Pirates make their way out there and looking to reverse their fortunes and get back into the thick of the conference race, as they are now 2-4, and ECU is, of course, 6-0.
That would be great, and hopefully the Pirates can win the games they should win, right? We'll see how that comes about. But we'll focus on Duke right now. Duke's on the clock, so good luck to the Pirates. Let's get a big crowd out to Clark LeClaire Stadium. In the meantime, we're going to end this thing, put this podcast to bed. For Kyle from LaGrange Barber and, of course, Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.